Today's discussion relates to proper usage of Meiser funds. Rav Moshe in Orach Chaim Chelek Dalet Simen Ayin Vav, Tshuva from 1980, was asked about using Meiser money to purchase raffle tickets. That is, for a raffle that's being conducted on behalf of a tzedakah organization. So Moshe writes, it depends on what kind of raffle ticket you want to purchase. And the distinction basically comes down to whether there is any real monetary value to the ticket that you want to purchase. And the basic assumption is the following. If you are purchasing a ticket that has real market value to it, you cannot use Meiser funds to purchase something which has market value. You can't use Meiser funds to buy yourself a couch. You can't use Meiser funds to buy yourself a ticket that has market value. If, however, there is no real market value to the ticket that you want to purchase, then one would be allowed to use Meiser funds for that purchase, since the money is going to a tzedakah organization. So Moshe writes as follows. He says, a raffle where there is only a limited number of tickets available. So it's a $10,000 raffle prize, and there's only going to be 500 tickets or 1,000 tickets being sold. So when there's only a limited number of tickets available for the raffle prize that they're raffling off, then you have a set statistic as to what your chances of winning are. My chances are, if I buy one ticket, one in 1,000. If I have two tickets, two in 1,000. No, there's a very, very specific chance that you're purchasing here to win this raffle prize. So in such a case, Moshe says, we find that there is real market value to purchasing this kind of risk. I don't know what it's called in the markets today, but you know, for example, Moshe quotes the Mishnah in Ksubas in Makos in the first parak in Daf Gimel. And the Mishnah speaks about a woman selling her Ksuba. A woman's Ksuba essentially is a document that gives her rights to certain amounts of payment if her husband predeceases her or if her husband divorces her. And the Mishnah says that a woman can sell the rights to her Ksuba to some other purchaser. What's he purchasing? Well, he's giving the woman money so that if her husband dies first or if her husband divorces her, he then is entitled to the payments of her Ksuba. If he purchases the Ksuba and she dies first, well, then there's no Ksuba payments. So he's obviously purchasing it's an investment that comes with a certain amount of risk. But the Mishnah speaks very clearly about the fact that there is value, market value in halacha to this kind of purchase. So with regard to raffles as well, when there is a limited number of tickets being sold, you're purchasing, you know, a known risk, essentially. It's an investment with a known risk, and that is assigned in halacha a market value. So Rav Moshe says, in that case, with regard to that kind of raffle and those kinds of tickets, you're purchasing something which has a market value. And then he says, the question is the following. He says, as long as the purchase price for the ticket is reasonable based on the chances of winning, so that even somebody who wasn't interested in giving money to tzedakah would still find this to be a reasonable investment. So then, okay, you're purchasing something which is of a reasonable market value. You cannot use Meiser funds for that purchase. Now, from that statement, it implies, what happens if you have only a limited number of tickets available, but the price that they're charging for each ticket is way beyond what any normal investor would pay for such a chance of winning?
Which is probably the normal mitzias.
Right, probably usually what happens. So, you know, so you have 1,000 tickets, but they're charging you know, 1,000 tickets for a $10,000 prize, but they're charging you $100 a ticket. Right? So, you know, right. It's pretty good odds. Is that market value? Okay, I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd have to try to get a sense as to what people would ordinarily pay. You know, people may pay for really insane odds, you know, Mega Millions, and they must do well for some reason or another. You know, people are pretty willing to pay, you know, large amounts of money for much less odds. But I guess you have to evaluate, you know, what is considered a reasonable cost for the odds that you are purchasing. So if the purchase price of the ticket is far beyond what anybody who's not interested in giving tzedakah would be willing to pay for these kinds of odds, then the difference would be something you could take from Meiser money. I mean, the bottom line for Moshe's tshuva is that the amount of money that would be a reasonable price to pay to purchase such odds of winning, that cannot be taken from Maaser money. Whatever is being paid above and beyond that reasonable asking price for this ticket, for these odds of winning, meaning no one else other than one interested in giving to tzedakah would want to pay for such a ticket, then that difference, what Moshe seems to imply, would be one that you could take from Maaser money. However, with regard to a raffle, says Rav Moshe, where there is no market value to each ticket because there's unlimited number of tickets available, so then obviously anyone who's purchasing this ticket is only doing so because it's a tzedakah cause. So then Rav Moshe says, oh, if it's for a tzedakah cause that you're giving the money and there's no market value to the ticket that you're getting, then you can give the entire purchase price of the ticket from your Maaser funds. Oh, so Chinese auction. What happens in Chinese auction? If there's unlimited number of tickets available, right? So one might argue that, therefore, there is no market value to the ticket because the odds of winning are so astronomical, then you should not be allowed to take any money from Maaser funds. However, I saw Rabbi Shimon Taub in his Art Scroll Maaser book.
Should be allowed.
Sorry, should be allowed to. Right, thank you. Should be allowed. Because if there is an unlimited number of tickets available, so then the odds are so astronomical, you should be allowed to take the money from Maaser funds. The only other concern, however, which I think Rabbi Taub raises in his Art Scroll Halacha book on Maaser, is, but there's a limited number of time, limited amounts of time in which you can purchase those tickets. That's true, but the question is, I guess the question is, how limited is the time? Meaning, is the time so limited that the odds are by definition kept down? No, for example, Ura raffles. So those, they have months in advance. They have catalogs going to the entire world. They've got phone advertising and bumper advertising. Everything in, you know, under the sun in terms of their ads and their publicity. That I can understand. There is unlimited number of tickets available. They're advertising for months in advance. You know, there's who knows how many people contribute to that thing. They're already, I can understand saying that there's no market value to these tickets because it's such a massive operation. So many people buying tickets in such a long period of time, you can take your money from Maaser to use to purchase those tickets. But what happens if you go to a little local yeshiva Chinese auction where the, you know, doors open at 8 o'clock, doors close at 9 o'clock? They're appealing only to the local neighborhood, local community. Then already, you might argue that maybe the odds there are much more fixed because, by definition, you have an hour to purchase tickets and you're only appealing to, you know, the local two neighborhoods that...
Most of the places you can spend in stuff like
that. Okay, it depends on the case. It probably depends on, you know, how much time is available to purchase the tickets and to what large or not so large crowd they're appealing to. So, clearly the Ura auction or something of that magnitude, no question, the odds are so astronomical, there's no market value, you can pay from your Maaser money to buy those tickets. You'd have to consider, you know, something which is a much smaller venue and much more limited time to purchase. Maybe that might not be, you know, unlimited odds. It might be more of a market value to that kind of a purchase.
What about
Okay, good question. Hold on. Let me just finish the tshuva here for a moment. Moshe then says that if somebody actually wins in such a case where he purchased, you know, Ura tickets from his Maaser money, so Moshe says, well, the winnings that you earn, like any other profit that you make in business, you give Maaser on the value of those winnings. So if you made one $10,000 prize, you would give Maaser from that, and it would be appropriate to this Moshe to give it to this institution that held the raffle. As far as the purchase price of the ticket, you paid $50 for the ticket, and then you won. Technically, that money that you used to purchase the ticket is still Maaser money. Rav Moshe, I think, writes, he says over here, he says, it's min haro'oi, he says, it's appropriate if you won in this raffle to then take the purchase price of the ticket and, you know, I guess, recompensate or pay back the Maaser account for that amount. I mean, technically, if you win, the purchase price of the ticket is still Maaser money, and you just have to give a Maaser on the winnings that you took in from the raffle. But Moshe writes, he says, nevertheless, it's min haroi, he says, if you won in this raffle, that you should then return to Maaser, to the Maaser account, the money you took out for the cost of the ticket. the gifts that you receive from Ura just for participating. So what Moshe says, he says, Me'ikir Hadin, Gaboy Tzedakah, are allowed to give gifts to encourage people to give to the Tzedakah. He says it with regard to the raffle winnings themselves, that they're allowed to give gifts to encourage people to give to the tzedakah. So again, technically, technically you can still give Maisa money to the purchase of the tickets, right? In that case,
it's guaranteed getting a return on
your money. Oh, you're saying in this case because it's guaranteed you're going to be getting the gift. So that's like purchasing something with the money. That's a good point. I guess then maybe perhaps you would have to evaluate.
It's not the price.
Right, you have to consider the cost of the gift, maybe deduct from your the maaser that you're giving to the purchase of the ticket, deduct the amount of the gift. That might be probably the most reasonable approach. So if you're paying for a $50 ticket and you're getting a $10 gift in return, so take $40 from maaser and $10 of your own to pay for the ticket. No, when they send in those fundraisers, those little trinkets that you get that you never asked for, you don't have to deduct from Meister the amount that you give to the institution. No. That's their decision. You didn't ask for it. Yeah. Okay. So Meister is given after you pay taxes. Yeah, Meister is given after you pay taxes. So if you're being taxed, a certain amount of money on whatever property you take in, after you pay those taxes, then you pay the Meister on the rest that remains. Okay, moving now on from the raffle discussion to dinner discussion. And Moshe has one other tshuva, written in 1973. It's a teacher's complaining about being forced to pay for the yeshiva dinner for which they work. Okay. Now he says the following. Moshe says, strictly speaking, if in your contract and when you were hired there was no written or verbal indication or agreement that you have to come to this dinner, then they can't obligate you to pay for such a dinner. They told you when you signed up for the job, that's one thing. But if they're springing it on you now after you've been hired, they can't force you to pay for the dinner. However, he says, but if they think that there is importance to the teachers attending because it doesn't look good if no one from the school shows up and they expect the parents to come, then he says, you should go. Just don't eat and don't pay. Just show up and be there. Then he says, one second, if you're going to come and not eat and not pay, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to think, oh, it's not kosher enough. I'm not going to eat either. I'm not going to come either. That's a problem. So Moshe says, it turns out, you have to come, you have to eat. Okay, so if you have to come, you have to eat because the institution is going to lose otherwise. So then just pay for the cost of this food if you were to eat it at home, right? Every dinner has a markup, obviously. So it says, they're serving you
chicken.
So whatever you have to pay to eat this chicken in your own home, pay that amount to the school. In other words, pay the basic cost expense for what you're eating, and then you'll eat, and don't pay the rest of it to the institution. But then Moshe says, this is the bottom line, however, he says, is what are you going to do? Start haggling about the extra $20, $30 that's going to cost you to pay the full cost of the ticket over what it would cost you if you're eating this meal at home? So this is not worth it to start up with the administration. It's not worth it to start making a fight over all this. He says, I'll give you a good answer. Don't fight with the Balabatim and the Hanhala about this. This is a small amount of money. If, however, he says it really is taxing your budget to pay the full amount of the dinner ticket, so Moshe says the following. He says, the cost of the food that you're eating that you have to pay because you're getting food from them. But he says the additional excess amount over the actual cost of the food that the yeshiva is charging for their dinner, that you can pay from Ma'us Meiser, from Kesef Meiser. So Moshe basically tells us that when you're going to a charitable institution's dinner, fundraising dinner, the amount of the food, the cost of the food that you're eating, that you have to pay from your own pocket because you're buying a meal for yourself. Whatever the profit margin is for the institution, above and beyond that cost, that you can take from Meiser money. That's what Moshe's psak with regard to dinners. Just to conclude the discussion with a couple of bonus pointers, Rabbi Taub in his book quotes from Rahul Yashiv that dinner journals. Rabbi Shimon Taub.
Put together a book about
Meiser. English book on Hilchas Meiser. Yeah, it's Frantonian from Toronto. His Sefer quotes of Al Yashiv Paskins that purchasing a dinner journal ad can be done entirely from Meiser because you don't get any benefit from that. That's making someone else feel happy, but there's no tangible benefit in it for you. The entire cost of the journal ad can be from Meiser money. And one more bonus from his Sefer, he quotes Rav Belsky, Shlita, who says that shul membership is a bit of a mix. You get certain tangible benefits for shul membership. The ability to, you know, get a seat or attend a shul event at a discounted price as opposed to non-members. The ability to get more aliyos and daven for the amud. And whatever the benefits of a shul might be, there is a certain value to those benefits. Now, presumably, the cost of shul membership is more than the actual market value of those benefits. Tough to exactly pin down how much those benefits are worth. Yeah, you can probably add up the difference in price between members versus non-members for Yom Kippur seats and for shul events, etc. But bottom line, it's still going to be hard to pin down exactly what the markup is over the actual value of those benefits. He quotes a Belsky Shlita who approximates that presumably you can always pay one-third of the shul membership costs from Meiser money. That's what Belsky's psak. That was very interesting, that a third of the cost of shul membership could come from Meiser accounts, and the rest, that already is tougher to pin down, but Belsky is comfortable saying that at least a third of the account of the cost of shul membership could come from Meiser money. Right, so now this is great advertising for the shul and a great pitch for the shul dinner, for the shul ad, and for the membership.
You get a journal pansy, like we have, and most places do, when you buy a certain level journal ad, it includes a dinner ticket.
Okay, so you have to calculate, you know, the value of the dinner. As my own money that I have to pay for. Whatever more I'm paying for markup for the dinner or for the journal ad, that comes from Meiser.